Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. That's right. It's Monday morning, which means it's time for Oh Snap on Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and joining me to kick off the show right away on the phones, we have Brett Goode, the long snapper of the Green Bay Packers, joining us. Congratulations on the win over the Bears on Sunday, Brett. A win that clinched the NFC North Division, a spot in the playoffs, and a postseason home game as well. You've got to feel good about yourself here on a Monday morning after accomplishing all those goals.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting to be able to go down there to Chicago and always beat the Bears. That's always exciting. And to be able to do what you said, you know, be able to guarantee ourselves a home playoff game. You know, that's huge for us right now. And hopefully we can just continue to keep this thing rolling and keep moving forward.
The winning streak against the Chicago Bears has been extended to 6 games now, and I believe 7 out of the last 8. You sure seem to have the Bears' number. What's been the secret?
I don't think there's really any secret. I think our team's just improving, you know, each time we play, and we always make the division games very important because they are, you know, really important to the success of us and us in the NFC North. And so that's the big key is, you know, just really focusing on the NFC North games and taking them as serious as possible and trying to improve every week. You know, it was a tough game and a tough environment. And, you know, we were able to come out of there with a win and we're always happy.
How did you react to all the talk during the week leading up to the game? The comments from Brandon Marshall. What did you think of all that?
I don't pay much attention to that, and I don't think a whole lot of guys, you know, there's a certain number of guys that do, but I think realistically, I think we were just focused on going down there to beat the Bears and locking up a home playoff game and locking up the NFC North. I think that was the main goal of the whole day down there and the whole week of last week's preparation that we put in. And now, you know, we're just putting our focus towards Tennessee and trying to move forward.
The Packers had to overcome a few blunders on special teams to win on Sunday, a couple missed field goals, the fumble on a punt return. Now, as someone who plays exclusively on special teams, how do you move on from that?
Well, you just got to get better. You got to correct the mistakes, and you got to get better. You know, everything's coming down to, you know, almost do or die time now as we get closer to the playoffs, and that's the way we got to treat this. We got to play better. We got to, you know, have better weeks of preparation and practice, and really everybody's got to focus in on doing their job. And, you know, as moving forward, that's what we got to focus on because, you know, we are a part of the, you know, the third of how the team's success is. But, you know, our team is built to, you know, everybody kind of play off of each other, and yesterday was no different. The offense picked up for defense and special teams, and defense picked up for offense and special teams. And, you know, we've just got to be able to play our part and trying to improve.
We're talking to Packers long snapper Brett Goode right now on Railbird Central. Of course, Brett, everyone knows about the terrible tragedy that happened this past week in Connecticut. And I know I saw you send your condolences out on Twitter, but I'm a little curious about the if the event was addressed as a team and in a meeting or in the locker room. What was it brought up at all in a team environment?
Yeah, well, it happened on Friday, and we didn't know about it until we got done with practice on Friday. And so there was quite a few guys that actually sat in the cafeteria because after we get through the practice on Friday, we're done for the day. But there's a lot of guys that sat in there for almost 2 hours just kind of watching the covers and just kind of taking it all in and kind of shocked by everything that happened. And, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit on Saturday. And then obviously yesterday, you know, we took a moment of silence. And I think everybody just kind of deals with it in their own way. And, you know, certain groups of guys in the locker room, you know, we talk about it and just kind of throw things off of each other and just, you know, feeling bad for all the victims out there.
Certainly we wish the people in Connecticut the best who are trying to grieve their way through this process here. On a lighter note and maybe a happier note here, in an attempt for our viewers and listeners to get to know you a little bit better, every week I try to ask a little something here. We've heard you talk about your interest in country music in the past. Who have been some of your influences in country music?
Well, I definitely like the older country, big Waylon Jennings, you know, Merle Haggard, those type of guys. And I'm kind of into a lot of the red dirt music, down in Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and kind of that area is like Wade Bowen, Cross Canadian Ragweed, which they're no longer together, but, Stone of the Rue. And so it's kind of a country rock type stuff. And I really like the writing of the songs. I don't get into a whole lot of the new country, although I do like, you know, some of the artists. I think they're trying to keep country the way country was made. I don't really enjoy the pop country culture, as you would say.
So is there any possibility of getting you to play a song for us on air in upcoming week here on Railbird Central?
We could probably do that. I don't know how good the sound quality is, but we could definitely try and work something out.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that another week. We'll be looking forward to that. Now, looking ahead here, the Packers play the Tennessee Titans next week, an opponent you don't see very often. I think the Packers only play them once every 4 years as an AFC opponent. What do you know about the Titans?
You know, I hadn't really dug into a whole lot of film, just kind of watching the way they played. I know they've got a solid running game, and that's really the only thing I know about them, just because they hadn't done the film study yet. And, I think the big thing for us is just to go over that Chicago film in the next couple of days, and then come Wednesday is so put all our focus on Tennessee and try and, get another home win. You know, we're back at home, back to the home crowd, and so, you definitely want to win your home games.
Well, we wish you the best of luck against the Titans, and again, congratulations on winning the NFC North title. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll look forward to a song at some point.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thank you. Brett Goode, the Packers long snapper, joining us here on Railbird Central, as he does every Monday morning. So gracious of him to take his time to talk to us here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in this morning. Glad to have you joining us. Let's dig into a Packers victory here, which clinched the NFC North Division title for the Green Bay Packers. Very, very cool. The Packers have not only clinched the division title, that means they have also iced a spot in the playoffs, and they've also iced a home game in the playoffs. Now, we don't quite yet know when that game will come, when the home game will come. It could be in the first round, in the wild card round of the playoffs. It could be in the divisional round of the playoffs. That has yet to be determined, and that's what the Packers still have to play for these last few weeks. You know, it was kind of interesting, 2 years ago, the Super Bowl season, the Packers had to play, they had to win their last two games of the season to even qualify for the playoffs. So it was like they were scratching and clawing their way to the playoffs to the very bitter end of the regular season. Last year, the Packers, having a 15-1 record, had wrapped everything up going into the final 2 weeks, I think, of the regular season, and certainly the last week of the season. And they chose to rest everybody, rest their key players in the last game last year, and that combined with a bye week, some questions as to, what their strategy should be. Should they have had that much time off? Because, Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson, some of those guys didn't play in the final game, and then they don't play in the, of course, during the bye week either, so that, that practically contributes to a 3 week layoff between games, even though there was, two games they missed. But, it's interesting here, the Packers. We'll see what they do going forward, but still things to be determined yet. The Packers still looking for that number two seed. They gotta hope the San Francisco 49ers lose yet. And next week, the 49ers have a tough game on the road in Seattle. That'll definitely be a game people will be watching next week. In fact, I bet a lot of people were watching last night as the 49ers traveled to New England, who you thought would be another tough opponent, and ends up being a good game. The New England Patriots, what did they come back from? Like, it was 28-3 at one point, I believe, and trying to come back from that, and they gave it a good shot, but the 49ers end up being victorious on the road in New England. We'll see how they fare next week in Seattle. So anyhow, interesting how these whole few games are going to play out. Let's talk a little bit about the game yesterday. Packers, as usual, it wasn't pretty. And you know, the game certainly didn't start out very well for the Packers. They the Bears start out the game by really with a very good rushing attack and, you know, start running the ball down the throat on the Packers. And you kind of wonder if, you know, you hope the whole game doesn't go this way. And it didn't. The Packers did turn things around, but the Packers, you know, in addition to getting their, you know, the run, Matt Forte running down their throat the first drive or two, the Packers couldn't get anything going on offense the first three drives of the game. They get shut out, and so, you know, it's nearing the end of the first quarter, and the score is still 0-0, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a slugfest here. And finally, all of a sudden, the Packers offense breaks out, and it had a lot to do with Aaron Rodgers and James Jones, wide receiver. They looked fantastic yesterday. The blue chip performers from Sunday's game, Aaron Rodgers and James Jones. And I think the job Aaron Rodgers did is remarkable because I think he started off the game starting like 1-for-7 passing. And now here is Aaron Rodgers' final line on the day. 23 completions out of 36 attempts, 291 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's good for a passer rating of 116.8. Just remarkable, especially considering how he started. You know, Aaron Rodgers just doesn't lose games for the Packers. And I mean, that's really what it comes down to, and he helps them win them. But by not turning the ball over when his counterpart on the other sideline did. Jay Cutler, you know, didn't really do anything of note for the Bears. You know, he, although he completed 12 passes, they were for 135 yards, has one touchdown to Brandon Marshall, was about the highlight of the game for the Bears. And but he throws a critical interception that helps set up Packers. You know, gets them in scoring territory, and you know, the Packers from that point on basically had the game in control until about the fourth quarter. You know, and then all of a sudden it gets a little bit dicey. We talked about it with Brett Goode. There were a couple special teams blunders that the Packers helped the Bears stay in the game. Mason Crosby, of course, misses 2 field goals, and on top of that, the questionable decision for the Packers up 11 points in the fourth quarter to run a trick play on special teams, running a lateral from Randall Cobb to, I believe it was the newly signed wide receiver there, Jeremy Ross, if I'm correct, and absolutely a bonehead call up 11 in the fourth quarter. That was a head scratcher to say the least. And, you know, Mike McCarthy apologized for it after the game. It just shouldn't happen in that type of situation. You know, if the game is tied in the fourth quarter, I wouldn't even say tied. If, you know, it's almost a situation where it's something you maybe do in the first quarter or second quarter when the game is still, you know, in question, or it's something you do as a last resort when you're behind. But to be up 11 was just simply stupefying, really. And, you know, it's kind of weird a little bit. Mike McCarthy has kind of had some very questionable play calls this season, almost more than any type in his career. But they really haven't hurt the Packers a whole lot. You know, you kind of go to that, and then there were times when the Packers, you know, you think to the game against the Seattle Seahawks, and the Packers didn't run the ball enough, didn't run it nearly enough. And then there were games like the, I forget off the top of my head, where the Packers, you know, didn't pass enough, or they, you know, it just kind of weird play calling this year from Mike McCarthy at times, but they overcome it so often, almost a little bit like Les Miles at LSU, Mike McCarthy might not be quite as flaky as Les Miles, but certainly have gone away with a few bonehead calls that have, you know, coming a little bit too often, perhaps. But I think Mike McCarthy recognizes his mistakes, and you hope he learns from them. And it just really is. I mean, how do you call that fake punt yesterday is beyond me. But the Packers overcome it by, you know, running the clock out. The defense, you know, after, you know, it was a little bit scary early for the defense, but they really buckled down. You know, I think they gave up most of their rushing yards really came on like the first drive of the game. And then they give up a few more the rest of the half. But I think the Packers gave up like only 11 rushing yards the entire second half. And, you know, that's the key to the game, how they the Packers defense really gelled and did a whole lot better. And we could talk a little bit here about the secondary, I think, is really deserving of a good performance. Of course, there was a lot of attention coming into the game on how Tremont Williams would do lined up against Brandon Marshall and how the Packers would defend Brandon Marshall. He, of course, dares them into covering him one-on-one. And the game plan basically stayed the same as it was the first meeting when the Packers shut Marshall down. You know, the Packers, again, went with Tremont Williams, but had Morgan Burnett for the most part, giving him help over the top, kind of some bracket coverage a little bit. And, you know, Marshall makes the one very nice touchdown reception. Actually kind of comes against Brad Jones in zone coverage, and Casey Hayward misses a tackle there as well. And so Brandon Marshall has that one good play. Other than that, you know, like I said, that was the highlight of the day for the Chicago Bears. Other than that, they had very little to celebrate, other than a couple of Lindomare field goals, and we'll get more into his counterpart on the other sideline, Mason Crosby, here in a little bit. But Tremont Williams basically holding his own. Brandon Marshall didn't do anything of note, you know, didn't do much damage. And I think, you know, the other matchup on the other side of the field for the most part is worthy of talking about as well. Sam Shields matched up against Alshon Jeffrey. And very interesting matchup, because Alshon Jeffrey was, first of all, held without a single catch the entire game. He was shut out. On top of that, he was called for pass interference three separate times. And you know, you don't see that called a whole lot. I mean, it's not unheard of to see offensive pass interference called. To get it called three times in one game against one wide receiver matched up against the same cornerback every time was really something I've never seen in a football game before. And it could have been four pass interference calls, where or perhaps maybe better would be a no call, maybe. But you know, the one time where Alshon Jeffrey gets a handful of Sam Shields' face mask, and Shields is called for pass interference, and that one was really weird and a poor call by the officials. And you know, granted, I also thought Sam Shields got away one time with a pass interference of his own. He tugged on Jeffrey's jersey, and I really thought, you know, the Packers did get away with one there. The other times, the three times Jeffrey was called for pass interference, good calls all the time. So, you know, it was interesting to say the least, and, you know, good job, basically, by Sam Shields holding Jeffrey without a catch and playing well most of the game. Sam Shields did end up having a missed tackle there. I believe it was against Matt Forte. Didn't look so good there. But in pass coverage, as usual,
Sam Shields looking good. Casey Hayward coming up with the interception. He misses a tackle, too. Defensive backs got to work a little bit on these missed tackles. But in pass coverage, doing a good job. So we'll give him kudos there. And definitely, you know, shutting Brandon Marshall up a bit. In fact, wasn't the post-game press conference just priceless if you're a Packers fan? Brandon Marshall just showing his frustration, nearly on the verge of tears, and basically had it coming. I mean, when you go and pull that kind of stunt before the game in the press conference he did, pulling out the Christmas tree, the Charlie Brown music, the picture of the Lombardi trophy, I mean, you got to stay humble, bro. That's the only way I could put it. And then you wouldn't be made fun of and things wouldn't seem quite as bad after the game when your play just isn't up to par with your opponent. The Packers getting pulling the big straw and, you know, doing a good job, shutting down Marshall, shutting down the Bears offense, shutting down Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler not doing anything. And again, I don't know how the Bears can continue with him as their quarterback unless, you know, the supporting cast improves greatly and, you know, the offensive line in particular. But, you know, it just poor Bears. But I guess I'm not going to spend too much time here sulking for the Bears' woes. This is a Packers show, and Packers fans don't care too much about how the Bears do. So do you want to talk about Mason Crosby a little bit? Because I did have kind of one opinion I wanted to express here, and maybe at some point I'll write about this. I don't know whether I'm going to or not, but my feelings here on Mason Crosby, there's a lot of comparisons to what Mason Crosby's going through and what kickers go through in general and the game of golf. You know, you're making contact with the ball for a split second. And so kind of the swinging action is the same as a golf, and the fact that it kind of gets to be a mental game, and you kind of lose your confidence in golf, and sometimes the way the ball comes away, you know, it can slice, it can hook. There's all these comparisons between golf and kicking. And you know what? In golf, there's no other choice but for the golfer to work through his troubles. But in terms of the Packers having to live with Mason Crosby, my feeling is football is not golf. Mason, in golf, you're one person and you're only hurting yourself when you're struggling, going through a slump in golf. In football, you're hurting your 53 other teammates, 52 other teammates on the roster, and the coaches, and your fans. And I just don't see how the Packers can continue to keep Mason Crosby. I supported when Mason Crosby probably, you know, when it appeared as if he hit rock bottom couple weeks ago when the Packers kept him, and I said at the time you hoped he hit rock bottom and was going to bounce back, and it kind of looked as if he maybe was, but he didn't. Mason Crosby now has hit rock bottom this game, and the Packers continuing, Mike McCarthy continuing to support him, and you know, I feel bad for Mason Crosby, I really do. But that being said, I just don't think it does a whole lot of good to continue to have him on the roster when, you know, a game could be at stake. And I've heard this from many sources. You know, the Packers will keep him until he costs them a game. And I just, that does appear to be the way it's going. But I mean, nobody wants to see that game happen in the playoffs. Nobody wants him to see him, you know, lose a game for the Packers in the playoffs. And the Packers, I don't think, should take that chance. Now, there's a couple things the Packers could do. and maybe this is what they actually do. And, you know, perhaps if they keep Mason Crosby, you saw how the Packers, how they reacted to having a makeable field goal yesterday, came in the second half. They were about, what was it, 40-some yards out, and they faced fourth down, and the Packers just decided to go for it. And maybe that's what they do the rest of the year. They don't let Mason Crosby kick anymore unless it's inside of 40 yards. You know, 39 yards and in, they let him kick. But otherwise, not. Or something where it's, you know, unless they're facing fourth and 15 and it's pretty impossible, you convert that, you know, maybe in that situation. So they could go in that direction. Another direction they could go is making actually Tim Mastay the kicker. But the thing is, this is kind of a question mark, and maybe the Packers know more about Tim Mastay than a kicker than we. Obviously, they know more about him as a kicker. But Tim Mastay has kicked before. He was a kickoff specialist in college. The Packers, I believe, have actually tried him kicking off in the preseason before, and he's kicked field goals in practice. I've seen him do it during training camp, but have never, I believe, I don't think Tim Mastay has ever kicked a field goal or extra point during a game. So maybe they go that direction, but again, I don't know how good of a kicker Tim Mastay is, if you would really trust him trying to make a 50-yarder with the game on the line. I don't know if you do that. As Jamie points here, Jamie, our live blog director, points out on our live blog, some questions about doing that. You know, if you make Tim Mastay the kicker, then who's the holder, and you kind of change up that whole dynamic as well. So there's some risk there. But I mean, you look at all these options of street free agents that are out there, and none of them are terribly enticing. Ryan Longwell, Nate Kading, you know, guys who are past their prime. But, I mean, it just the Crosby's mechanics are just screwed up. I mean, you saw the field goal there yesterday that just went way to the right and wasn't even remotely close. And that is what just boggles the mind, is you can't be having a kicker who is missing like that. I mean, if he goes and misses something by a yard away, a yard to the right, a yard to the left, well, they're at least close, and you get the feeling like, well, you know, he just missed that one, but he could turn it around. But with the way Mason Crosby has kicked this year, several field goals have just been absolutely, you know, horrendous, just missing by 20 yards, you know, and not even close. I don't see how the Packers can do that. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, for the Bears, Robbie Gould is out with an injury. So they sign Olindo Mare off the street. And it's amazing, you know, a few weeks ago, I myself cringed, you know, at the thought of the Packers signing a guy like Olindo Mare. But, you know, he goes. He makes two makeable field goals for the Bears yesterday. Not from 50-plus yards or anything. But, I mean, there was no, you know, you have no worry that Olindo Mare, even though he may not be the kicker he once was in his prime, he wasn't going to miss by 20 yards. And so, I mean, just imagine for a second that the Packers lose a playoff game because of Mason Crosby. I mean, do you blame Mason Crosby, or do you blame the coaching staff or the front office for not parting ways with Mason Crosby when, you know, they had the opportunity to do so? I think the Packers have to do something. Now, if they really and truly are confident in Tim Mastay, handling the kicking duties. That's a way of leaving Mason Crosby on the roster at least and finding out if maybe he can turn things around for next year. But, you know, barring that, I think you just got to get somebody maybe and, you know, do your best, do your due diligence, get the best kicker you can, because I just, you know, the Packers will have nobody to blame but themselves if Mason Crosby ends up costing them a playoff game. And I hope it doesn't come to that, but that's the way I feel about it. And I know it's a touchy situation. I mean, I sit here and I have Brett Gudon as a guest, and if he were still listening, I'm sure he'd be mad at me for suggesting the Packers get rid of somebody he probably knows and works with so closely. But, you know, that being said, my job here is an analyst of the Green Bay Packers, a person who has an opinion on the team. And the Packers certainly don't have to listen to me, and I don't think they ever have. But I'm giving my two cents. My two cents about how the Packers should proceed. It doesn't appear as if they will take my advice, just in terms of yesterday Coach McCarthy coming out and saying how much he's in favor of Mason Crosby and keeping them on. But anyhow, I suppose, you know, we're running out of time here, but I suppose I just wanted to also mention here James Jones and the great game he had yesterday. Three touchdown catches yesterday, the hat trick. So that was great to see for the Packers. And it, who would have guessed the season James Jones is having coming into the season? You know, I could have, you know, thought that James Jones would have a good year, but I never would have thought he would have reached double digits in touchdown catches. Never in a million years. And not only that, he catches his 10th touchdown pass yesterday on his first catch of the game, or was it his second catch? Anyway, you know, ends up having two more after that. Now he's had a dozen touchdowns on the season. Kudos to James Jones for having a hell of a game. And you know, I don't have time to get into the whole Finley thing that happened this past weekend as well. Of course, the article published by Bob McGinn in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the Packers are going to part ways with JerMichael Finley in the offseason. Kind of weird timing almost that for an article like that. And then, you know, JerMichael Finley bouncing back, coming back from that with a positive game. Not a great game by any stretch of the imagination, but does a good job yesterday. Even Finley haters can admit that. And converting a couple third down chances, and you know, that was a difference in the game yesterday as well. The Packers, in fact, if I look up the stats here quick, what they did in converting third downs as compared to the Bears. Yeah, here we go. The Packers yesterday were 7 out of 17 in converting third down chances. That's 41%, which is not great, but it was infinitely better than the Chicago Bears, who were 0 of 9 on third downs, and actually 0 for 1 on fourth downs, so 0 for 10 on late downs in the day, and it, you know, obviously a big reason that the Bears lost. But Finley having a good game, interesting just the way the whole situation played out. Obviously, I think he had probably heard or read the article written by Bob McGinn. And I can't imagine how I personally would react to something like that. Of course, I mean, JerMichael Finley kind of puts himself in his own position, you know, when he is so outspoken and says so many foolish things that, you know, it's his own fault. And you know what? Here's another opinion too. It's not so much that JerMichael Finley said this past week that garnered some attention that Brian Urlacher had lost a step. It wasn't so much that. It was what he said after. I mean, anybody knows that Brian Urlacher has probably lost a step, that he's probably a step slower than he was in his prime. Obvious and you know, goes without mentioning. Beyond that, he said the Bears were, you know, they might be better without him. And I'm paraphrasing here. And to say that, I think, was, I think, what, you know, not that saying Brian Urlacher's slow. It's that saying they're better off without him. And I have a real hard time with that. And that's because who was in the game yesterday for the Bears? I know Nick Roach was one of their linebackers. And the other one on top of that was some special teams player who has no business being out on the field because Brian Urlacher is hurt. And, you know, maybe at this point in his career, you know, the Brian Urlacher is no longer a Pro Bowl player, but there's also, again, always something to be said about the leadership and the experience he brings to a defense that I believe outweighs anything Nick Roach or their third or fourth string linebacker who then is on the field brings to the game. And so I think that is really the crux of the problem. And the fact is, you just don't say those things to the media. You just don't say those things. I mean, show some respect for your opponent and a guy who's going to be a future Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no reason to garner all the negative publicity, and that's what your Michael Finley brings upon himself, and just the unwarranted distractions that then, you know, the whole Packers locker room has to deal with it because the media is asking them about it, and then it's published in the papers, and they hear it from every angle. It just, you know, Michael Finley is an enigma. Anyhow, thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here at Railbird Central this morning. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs. In fact, just this morning, if you haven't even checked it out yet, and you can, if you scroll to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, there's some columns published this morning, one by Max Ginsburg, giving us his usual Monday morning reaction and analysis. Zach Cruz, I think, just before the show, published an article on Mason Crosby and his troubles. So all sorts of things for your reading enjoyment and pleasure for you to check out. So check those out and continue to stay with Cheesehead TV all week long. We'll be back on Wednesday again. We'll be talking to Nathan Yonke, as usual, as we do every Wednesday, from ProFootballFocus.com. He'll help us take a look at the Packers. But on behalf of Jamie Jorres, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll see you on Wednesday. Take care. Go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Humphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.